I think tales of an anchorpocalypse were exaggerated. I can still press a button and send a message. I'm excited to go to North Texas RPG Con as well. I'm actually, thanks for encouraging me to submit some games. So I did two games that are my own thing. I hope they gain some traction. It would be, if Chupacabra Con comes out, it'll be the third time I'm running Bone Collectors. And yeah, I'm gonna try to run a Weird Frontiers game, and I hope I don't offend any of the authors that might be there. I'm a little nervous about that. But I don't know. I had, like, in my Bone Collectors game, for I did have like an author, a guy who could, you know, I had the Raven God in one of my games, and it was cool. It actually was helped me with my confidence because I knew him. So it probably is a good thing.
Hello, Screeters. Thank you for that introduction. Carl Rodriguez from GMologist Presents. Today is Wednesday, and it is Gary Con weekend. Talking about NTRPG Con might help me get past the FOMO of Gary Con and not going this year. Super hard decision, but I'm just low on the cash flow right now, and I can't pay the money and then also miss out on work. Hey, this is what it's like when you own your own business, man. You make your own schedule, but at the same time, you don't get paid for not working. So that kind of bites it, but it was a tough decision. I had a lot of offers for helping out and, you know, even free room to stay at, but even with that, I couldn't pull it because of the amount of money I'd be losing by not working, or the opportunity for lost money, which seems weird and is not my usual gig, but I'm hoping after this year, I'll never have to miss another Gary Con. But you know what? I have a blast playing games with my buddies online, and I'm going to North Texas to meet up with Carl, and I think that will be enough. It's going to have to be. As far as running games for authors, I think they love it. Even if you switch it up a little bit or don't do it the way they want, I think most people are just excited to see someone else running and playing and enjoying their heartbreaker, right? Their game that they've put so much into. So, and I'm sure you'll do a great job, and I look forward to seeing you there. And I guess we'll all hear from Carl later, but I don't know. What I do know is today is Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey, Jason, how's it going? So, cons. I haven't been to a con since before COVID. There was a con last month, DundraCon. It's like the biggest West Coast convention, or the most popular West Coast convention. I think KublaCon's a little bit bigger, but, you know, whatever. Semantics, right? They got the trademark on most popular, whatever, West Coast convention. So I think that even before COVID, signing up for cons was a problem. I know, I DM at cons. I'm a DM. I'm not a player. So the one thing that I did sign up for, I got into, but it ended up dropping because I was running a game at the same time. But going with my sons, they have problems all the time of getting bumped from seats. And it depends on how they're doing it, definitely, but it seems like it's a problem all around for everybody. How do I fill my hexes? That is a question that I've been thinking of a lot lately because I'm about to make another hex crawl. This one's going to be different. This one's going to be a planetary hex crawl. So I'm probably going to go straight Stars Without Number, and then maybe throw in some other random Spelljammer-esque kind of tables that I have. I really like the kind of Welsh Piper 1-6 thing. I like leaving empty hexes. I like big random tables. I'm going to try to incorporate like zones of control into this hex crawl. I don't know how that's going to work on a planetary scale, but I mean, it's got to work, right? Giant space dragons, they travel three planets to eat. Prep, huh? What's that? When I prep, I do a lot of front-loaded prepping. I tend to set up a campaign to roll on its own for about 5 levels and then move on to a plot after the players get their footing in and start following up leads that they're interested in. After that, I usually prep maybe like 3 sessions at a time because I overprep. That's just what I do. So I don't have to prep before each game as much. A lot of the prep before each game is setting up Foundry, getting things together, getting maps together, getting tokens together, and a lot less plot-driven kind of stuff. I'm kind of the random guy, too, so I don't like a lot of plot-heavy stuff. I like to follow the characters and play to see what happens, I think is what it's called. Lately, it's been really hard because I'm reading new rules. I'm doing new adventures, so it's taken a lot of my time, and it's super hard. I can't wait to get back to...
All right, Screeters, I'm back. It's now Friday, March 31st, and I'm finally going to reply to all of these call-ins for y'all and get this podcast episode out. Right there was Rich or Jerry247 from Cockatrice Nuggets. I don't know if he still does a podcast or not, but I do know he does quite a bit of twitching, playing video games and his campaigns. So check those out if you get the opportunity. He also does the editing for Hobbs and Friends, so you know he is the shiitake. All right, man. So first up, cons. I am like freaked out that you're talking about people getting bumped from games at cons. This is not anything I've really heard of in a long time. Not since the for tabletop events. I haven't heard of people getting bumped from games, but if it's something like Origins or Gen Con, they have their own software that was supposedly taking care of all that, and I don't know. I didn't play any games at either of those places that were on the books, so I'm curious how that happens. Is it something that the GM decides? Is it just a messed up hardware, software situation? I don't know. I'm sorry to hear that. And I don't know if I could say... I think most people would consider me a GM. That's primarily what I've been for the past 45 years or 44 years or something. But I definitely play at cons. I don't know, that's an interesting question. Is there anybody out there who also consider themselves primarily a player versus primarily a GM? Does it change for conventions? How do you feel about that? I know it's hard as a player to not think as a GM. That is definitely something I've experienced, but maybe this is a good topic for the future. All right, next up was hexes. I've gotten my fill of the hexes, and the next one, I can't remember what it's called, by Third Kingdom Game. I would check it out if I was anyone, just because it seems to... almost overkill information-wise, and it's not the difficult tag reading that's Kevin Crawford's games. Pretty simple. It is 2-column text walls, but I mean, I liked the tables. What I didn't like is there wasn't really much information about layers, but then he's filled that in with his higher-level hex stuff where he's talking about layers. I would also point people towards Hexed Press, YouTube channel, and Third Kingdom Games. Mystic Bull is doing hex stuff on his blog to add to the already rich environment of hex stuff. I'm seeing more and more West Marches open table games spring up around Discord, and I'm like lurking on those to check them out and see what's up and maybe ask some questions on how they're filling their hexes and, you know, their procedures and what's going on with those. And I'll be the reporter on site. Last up, prep. I think my prep ends up being very similar. I don't purposely prep 3 sessions, but that's how long it seems to get through a lot of the stuff that I create. When we're talking in Roll 20, when we're talking... nice of my windshield wiper. There we go. When we're talking, you know, just prep in general for the games that I run. I haven't run face-to-face a lot, but when you're prepping for a one-shot, obviously you're hoping not to do that for three sessions or a con game. I don't know, guys. I know I'm going to North Texas. I checked everything out. I have my special guest invite to North Texas is in. I have my badges there, so I got to get on that. I knew there was some issues with hotel and such, so trying to get that figured out. I'll be rooming with Beatty, and I know we got some other podcasters and anchorites going, such as the mysterious Cody M, Cody Mazza, and Carl Rodriguez from the GMologist Presents. So some pretty good stuff, some pretty good people, and I'm excited to be there. And yeah, we got a lot of messages to get through. Let's keep it rolling.
What's up, Hobbs? It's Arlen. My understanding is that the word retcon comes from the phrase retroactive continuity, and the idea being that it's a change made retroactively to something that is designed to allow for continuity, right? So if, you know, basically it's like going back and saying, oh yes, this thing was going on the whole time, even though we didn't say anything about it back then, but, you know, it was definitely kind of present in the world or something like that. I don't know. However you want to put it, but basically making a change for allowing for the kind of new continuity to make sense within the story, right? So, like, you know, if you want the character to be alive in the story, obviously they can't have actually died in the last encounter type thing. For me, it's kind of a complicated issue, which is to say that I personally tend to believe in the value of retconning, at least in some circumstances. I don't do it for like every rules mistake I make as a GM, but I feel like, especially if I've made what I would qualify as a fairly significant rules mistake, that I think it's appropriate to go back and retcon what has happened. Especially one of the things that can kind of get me is when obviously there are sort of certain roles that have kind of more significance for the outcome of events than others. So for instance, like, you know, if I mess up the combat rolls for some enemies for striking at the heroes, basically, unless it's a big mistake and it kills one of the players, I'm probably not going to go through the whole combat again. But messing up like a fast talk or charisma roll to try to avoid combat seems to me like a lot more significant, if that makes sense. Because it's like one roll that has a lot more impact on what happens going forward if, like, you know, failing that roll is going to start a longer combat or something. So I don't know. It depends. I definitely believe in the value of retconning things as a GM. I know there are some GMs who don't. I'm not necessarily opposed to playing in those sorts of games, although I will say it's something that can really, I can take a lot of issue with. I know myself, when I feel like a games master is making not a rules interpretation, but like a full-on rules mistake, I would say, like if they, you know, have just misremembered a particular, you know, sentence of the rule book or a paragraph or something like that and are doing something. I guess what I would say is I think it's fine if a games master doesn't want to do things the way they're written in the rules, but I really dislike it when I am playing in a game and it seems like the game master isn't aware of the difference between what the rules actually say and the way they are running the rules, if that makes sense. That, you know, that's something that can bother me, that it's kind of fine if you're aware of it, but if you're just not aware of it and think you're running totally by the rules and doing something that is fairly different than what the rules actually say, that's something that can really bother me. And I feel like that's a place where I would certainly get annoyed if there was a, you know, a pretty significant rules misinterpretation or rules misremembering that led to some sort of, you know, meaningful character loss or character suffering or something. And then the GM said, well, that's the way we did it, so that's the way we're going forward. I would sort of feel like, well, what's the point of playing this game if you're not going to play by the rules of the game? That's a thing that I have something that I have thought before, and just to say that I, in particular, I know about myself, place a lot of value on the idea of the rules as a kind of common ground, if that makes sense, that the rules that that everybody is playing with are a, you know, not necessarily agreed upon by everybody in the sense that, you know, the players are saying, well, I think this should be the interpretation and that the GM has to do that if they don't agree, but that they are at least kind of clear to everyone from the get-go. And so if there are going to be, you know, significant deviations from the rules as text in the rule book, that those are up front, as opposed to what I feel like has sometimes happened in games where I'm playing a game and I think we're playing by the rules in the rule book, and then I realize that there are some meaningful deviations that the games master is just sort of expecting that everybody will go along with. And sometimes that works for me and sometimes it really doesn't. I don't know. It's kind of a, like, it depends a lot. And I guess that's what I would say about retconning, that to me, it depends a lot on the particular situation that, like, you know, if it, and I guess what I would say is that I would generally, as the GM, think that it's my solution would normally be to ask the player if they would like it to be retconned if the mistake was made against them, essentially, right? That if a player character dies because of, you know, the turn order wasn't actually followed, that I would ask that player whether they want it to be retconned or not. Because I think some, and to be fair to, and to be clear, I think part of the point of that is that some players really don't like that retconning stuff. Some people really, you know, would prefer to just move on. And that therefore, I think it's appropriate to just ask the player. So I guess that's a little bit of a cop-out to just say, like, ask the person who it matters to most, but whatever. That's my answer, is that if you're in a position where it seems like a retcon is sort of iffy, that I think it's totally appropriate to just ask the other people at the table what they think should be done in terms of what they would like most out of the game, essentially. And I know that I know that some people don't like to have any kind of, you know, larger narrative control stuff in certain games, right? That they want their character to be under their control, but nothing else. And I know that that has been a thing that I've run into at times with, you know, like discussion of the meta currency and stuff like that. So I guess it would depend a little bit on your group, but that would be my advice, is to retcon when the particular player who was harmed by the rules mistake is, feels like it should be retconned, I guess. I don't know. I will add, this is a sort of addendum to the retcon discussion, that I think retconning, as with lots of things, it can seem easy to just decide one way or the other. Either, like, we retcon when it's necessary, or we don't retcon at all, in the same way that you might say, like, okay, well, you know, when a player isn't here, their character is, you know, totally absent from the game world and isn't doing anything, versus when a player isn't here, we make up an explanation, versus something in between. I think that mostly works, but it can become a problem if you get into the kind of edge case scenarios, I guess is what to say, that, like, you know, it can be easy to say, oh, we don't retcon at all in this game. But then if you, as the games master, make a significant mistake that kills a beloved player character, it can feel like, well, I know we said we don't retcon, but I also feel like that's sort of like the point where it actually matters, right? That a lot of the other stuff doesn't really matter. But if you're talking about a, you know, really significant moment where a major mistake has been made, you know, do you really believe in never retconning unless, no matter what? And that, you know, that's part of why I would suggest the value in just sort of, you know, be flexible and be willing to discuss it with the players, as opposed to kind of, you know, we always retcon rules mistakes versus we never retcon at all in the game or anything like that. Because I think that's the, I don't know, I feel like it's, if you're willing to have the discussion with the players, it's generally much better to just discuss it than to get into a situation where, you know, it seems like you have to, you know, stick to your guns in a way that is not necessarily reflective of what would be best for the group or the campaign, if that makes sense.
All right. Well, thank you, Arlen Walker from Lives from Pelham's Wasteland. You guys should all know that every day in the month of March, Arlen is creating a character for a different system on his YouTube channel. You can find that at Live from Pelham's Wasteland, and you should go check it out, especially if you like his very polite, very verbose, kind manner of speaking, because you'll get a lot of it there. Regardless, thanks for the call-in. That's why I was complaining I didn't get any call-ins, and Arlen helped out with like 10 call-ins, all on the subject of retconning. I'll also say that this isn't the only call-ins I got about retconning, but the episode is already pushing the 20 minutes that I usually like it to go, so I'm just going to respond here to Arlen and then maybe talk a little bit about a new subject and then try and get a new podcast out soon with the remaining retcon call-ins. So I feel like Arlen covered his thoughts on retconning.
In half a mile, turn left onto South Kalina Avenue.
And I kind of talked about mine previously in the last episode, but I don't know. I really don't know. I think, as always, it's really what comes down to you and your table. But I do have to say it's Game Master, not Games Master. No, I'm just kidding. I think it could be either one. Further, I'm curious about deviations from the rules, because when you're talking old school games, the amount of rules aren't really a lot there, right? There are more rulings, not rules. So I'm curious what Arlen thinks about
left onto South Galena Avenue.
About that concept within, you know, his diatribe there, or his soliloquy. I don't even know if it's called a soliloquy, because he was really kind of having a conversation, but, you know, I really liked the etymology.
Continue on South Galena Avenue for 1 mile.
The etymology of retcon, I think that was some good information out there. I thought that's what it was, retroactive continuity, which I think we see a lot in, like, movies or comic books or shared world anthologies where one writer kills a character off and then another writer wants to bring him back. Specifically in comic books is what it reminds me of the most. But, yeah, man, Arlen, thanks for all that. That's some good stuff there. And something you made note of is the concept of the death of a character, which was right in with what I was talking about. Reminds me of the main topic.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van, don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right, my friends, I think we're going to have more minutes of Arlen speaking than me, but I don't see a problem with that. So there was some commentary on the last few episodes from Rich and Arlen. Like I said, I got quite a few more from Larry Haught and Che Webster and Carl Rodriguez on some of the topics that we've been discussing recently. But in the meantime, we'll hold that off for part two of the retconning call-in episode. I want to give you another topic of discussion and thought. I've talked about this in the past at length when I came up with my weird points idea. That's W-Y-R-D, not W-E-I-R-D. Metacurrency, like Arlen mentioned. But what I want to talk about is the mortality of characters in old school games and what you as a GM or a player think about it or feel about it. I've mentioned previously I'm playing in Zach Pierce's OSE game set in Troll Lord Games aired setting.
And your destination is on the right.
What I wanted to say about that is a couple sessions ago, one of the PCs, by the dice and by normal rules without any deviations, his character would have been killed by a goblin's dog. Which is a fairly ignoble death, I think, as far as heroes would go. But in OSC, I don't really think you're playing heroes. You're just playing accomplished characters. They're not yet heroes. They could be, but they're not yet. but nobody really knows when that's going to happen. But sorry, traffic got me distracted. That's part of the joy of random screed, right? Anyhow, one of the characters was dead by the dog's attack, but instead of being dead, I think I may even mention this in a show previously, the goblin called out to stop the dog from finishing the attack. He was just held down with the character in his clutches and could be set to kill him at any moment. And we were basically told to drop our weapons and hand over our gold, and they would release the prisoner. I was thrown off by this because it is a deviation, like Arlen mentioned. It's not the way I would normally consider the game to go. But in some ways, it makes way more sense for the goblins. The chances of them truly defeating us all without dying themselves were probably slim. But through this process, if we were good of heart or probably lawful in nature, we would be willing to trade our weapons and money for the life of our compatriot, if we could trust them. Which we did, and everything went and worked okay. But I do have to admit that I was thrown off by it for quite some time. But I was like, all right, that's fine. If that's what's going to happen in battle, and you know, then we could stop our weapons from killing things if we want to and just have them held at bay for captives or for, you know, NPCs or whatever. Maybe we would want to be able to do that too. I don't know if we can, but as long as we can, then I'm cool with it. But then my character was basically mauled by an owlbear in a recent session. But we were saving a pixie from a fey queen's court, and the pixie used fey magic to keep my character alive, even though he was mostly mutilated. And we were taken back to the fairy queen, almost magically fast, riding our steeds. And there the fairy queen, basically, we were given one boon for doing this deed of rescuing the sprite. And the boon was to bring my character, Orym, the immortal elf, back to full health, which was done. But then again, it's another saving a character. Is that deus ex machina? Is it GM fiat? Is it to be expected? Because, hey, I know last time I was playing in Zach's game, it was a Hyperborea game. When my character died, I didn't find the compulsion or motivation to recreate a character and play again. It was just an easy to me to just drop out, which I would probably do again, honestly, as busy as I am, because I had to leave early last session and canceled so many games recently. It's insane just because I'm so busy. But I don't know. That's my question. What do you guys do? I know there's probably at length things about this, and we've all talked about it in the past, but if you've got any ideas or you feel motivated to put in your 59 seconds of input, or multiple 59 seconds, I don't care, give me a call. Let me know. In the meantime, you can always check out all my work at twitch.tv/hob665 or the YouTube, or consider going to the Patreon and being a patron of the Gamerhood or Hobbs and Friends stuff. I'm thinking that as an update here, I will really do a lot of stuff in the winter when work is calmed down, but probably in the spring, summer, and fall, late spring, early fall, full summer, I'm going to be busy working almost all the time. So I don't see as many games or interviews happening, but what I'm going to do is start lining them up for the fall and winter, and I think I'm just going to do a bunch just in like that 6-month process. That's my plan anyway, so anyhow, thanks y'all for listening and supporting all the things. Love you guys. Stay alive. Depression lies, and it's better to burn out than to fade away.